Today's Survivor Exit interview is just 60 seconds away, but first let me just take a moment and thank our friends over at TrueCar. In order to feel comfortable you're getting a fair price, you need pricing context. That's information that empowers you to feel confident. Same thing with Emerge. With TrueCar, you'll get to see what other people in your local market paid for the car that you want. And from there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. With TrueCar, you can easily find the car that you want. Once you register, you'll see real pricing on the actual inventory. That's competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer. For an actual vehicle on their lot, it's pricing you'll see before you go to the dealership, so you can feel confident when you show up and you don't have to say deuces. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. And best of all, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP. What? Are you kidding me? When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino getting you ready for our exit interview today. We're going to be talking with our merge boot this season, and that would be Jessica Johnston. She is going to join me, my wonderful winner pick of this season. She was voted out last night, and we watched the episode with a huge crowd, the biggest live show that we've ever done at the Lincoln Square AMC 13, really big movie theater. We had a fantastic crowd on hand for Stephen Fishback and I to recap the Emerge episode, and we had really had the best time with Ceri and Jessica Lewis on the panel with us last night. Ceri was absolutely fantastic, both on the podcast and off. If you hadn't had a chance to listen to that podcast, I really highly recommend it. I think it was one of the best know-it-alls podcast live shows that we've done out of all of the different ones that Stephen and I have done together in person. So I thought that was really fantastic. I am hoping to have a really special video cut. Oh, we tried something different with the video last night. No live stream last night, but we did do a bang up job on recording the video, and I hope to have that up on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube later on in the day today on Thursday. We have a great recap podcast also coming your way. I'm going to be speaking with the wonderful three-time survivor, Miss Survivor, and host of the People or Penn Fan Forum. We'll talk to Andrea Belke, who I saw super briefly last night at the after party after the live show, and looking forward to talking to her later on today. And then we'll have our feedback show coming up this weekend with Antonio Mazzara when I'm back in the studio. But first, let's get to our exit interview for today. I believe that we have Jessica on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Jessica, are you there?
Hello.
Jessica, good morning.
Oh my God. Listen, when she said you're in my next interview, I like stuck two pieces of gum in my mouth because my mouth is so dry from talking, but I'm really trying to be on point with you. I've been so excited to talk to you.
Oh, I'm very excited to talk to you. I wish it was
bad, but
yeah,
whatever.
Later on down the road, but what are you going to do, Jessica? How are you holding up besides the dry mouth?
I mean, I've had better days. It's hard reliving everything and like thinking about like, Jessica, you're an idiot. But what do? Live life. Keep going.
Yeah. Are you beating yourself up, Jessica?
Oh, my God. Yes. And I honestly, I'm beating myself up more now after digesting last night's episode. I mean, though I obviously knew what happened in the end game, but just really realizing what was happening behind my back. I was like, oh, God, Jessica, like how stupid. Like, you were totally overly confident in yourself, in your relationship. You had blinders on. Like, there's so much I could have done. It would have been such an easy fix to be like, yo, Dr. Mike, give me the idol or I'm going to chop off your head. And he would have. I just have no idea. Like, it's awful.
Well, I get the sense from following you on social media that I feel like that this is like especially painful for you, because I feel like that a lot of people are coming down on you as like, oh, you followed a boy.
Yeah.
You let your heart blind you. And so it's not just that you lost Survivor.
Yeah.
It's also like, you idiot.
No credit for my game. Yeah. And it's like, I want to be like, hello, world. Can you not look at my bio, look at my life, and think that I would really enter the game of a lifetime and give it up for an 8-pack? I have passed up many 8-packs in my life, and this would have been another one if it had come to that. Granted, our lines were very confused. I might have thought this was like a real thing, like a couple days into the game. Like, oh yeah, who doesn't want to find love and $1 million? Why not me, right? Like, it happened. Mm-hmm. But that mindset quickly changed. But what do? When you're so far into something, you just have to go with the game that's in front of you. But yeah, like that, it was a double heartbreak, like feeling like I didn't get credit for being the dominant character in that showmance, which I really want to argue that term, but my dad's a psychologist and he's like, Jessica, you own the truth. And I was like, fine, I'm going to own the showmance truth. I'll say it. But there was so much strategy in my game that I feel like I had.
Well, we don't have a ton of time today, so let's just dive into a couple of the strategic points. And we had this group of healers plus Ben and Lauren. Did you suspect that Ben and Lauren could be flipping to the other group?
I had no idea that Lauren would have flipped. There was question that Ben would have flipped. You know, I was very confident in my relationship with Lauren, which was seemingly confirmed last night in the edit when she was trying to be like, dude, Ben, like, let's stick with a good thing, the Yawa tribe. That felt really good. Like, yes, like what I had built with her was solidified. You know, Ben, he was always up in the air. I knew he had a relationship with Chrissy. It was obvious in my head. Chrissy was his first wife and I was his second. He chose to go with the first wife, which screwed me, but whatever. Mm-hmm. So going in, I was so overly confident in my healers and then thinking that Lauren and Ben were with us, and Lauren was super confident that she would bring in Devin. I had no idea until last night that Devin was like so anti-healer, which again, shame on me, because if I would have not been so blinded by damage control with Cole, I probably would have allowed my head to think about, you know, Devin and Ashley and Joe and Desi. Of course they don't have a relationship. I know Joe, like he would never, you know? So I was just so blinded, totally overly confident.
In hindsight, should you have done less damage control and really just sort of cut bait on Cole in terms of where people are like talking about how, oh, he's eating everything. Like, oh, don't even get me started on this guy. He is driving me crazy.
You know, on the Yawa tribe, what ended up happening was, you know, Mike and I quickly were like, oh God, like Cole's a liability, but he's our liability. He's a number. And when push comes to shove, he would never flip on an alliance. So then what do? At what point are you like, you're a liability, but you're true to your alliance? You know, at what point do you cut that? And we had never been in that position to cut it before. So Mike and I had developed this, like, I'm no longer Cole's girlfriend. I'm his mother. And Mike is his father. And you're our child, boo. Like, we're going to take care of you. So that's what we did. You know, entering the merge, yes. What I should have done is Cole, because I was the one who told Cole to go apologize to Ben for the cinnamon sticks. I was like, Cole, this is the merge. What are you doing? You're pissing everyone off. And he's like, oh, are you serious? Like, people really care? And I'm like, we're starving. Go apologize to Mike and then go sit by the fire and stop talking. Like, this is the relationship that we had. And if I had not been so consumed with that and then making sure that Joe was still good with Cole, because Joe was really upset that we, like, supposedly infiltrated Ben into our alliance. And I was like, we didn't have a choice, Joe. We were trying to build in numbers because we knew when Rourke was voted out, we lost a number for healers, you know? But I was just consumed with damage control, and I think ultimately it killed my game. I should have said, screw all of you. I'm going to protect myself.
Talk to me about something very important, Jessica. Did you ever tell Cole about Dr. Mike's idol that you found with Dr. Mike?
Let's just put it on the record right now. Never. I never told Cole. Never. How stupid would I be to do that? Because at that moment, Mike and I were together. We had a rocky start at the beginning, which obviously we kept winning. So unfortunately, our relationship didn't make a lot of cuts either. But Mike and I had developed this like weird thing, but it was so, so good. And when we found the idol, it solidified us. And we were like, we don't trust Ben. We could potentially trust Lauren. We've got to protect Cole because he'll never slip on us. And when it's time, we'll do what we need to do. So no, I never told Cole.
Did you have any conversations with Joe leading into that tribal council where he tipped you off to what he was going to do with his deuces speech and pulling out the idol?
So here's the thing with Joe. Like, he's a villain. He's got the villain edit because that's who he is. He's playing the game for who he is. Like, good for you. Own it. Play it. So no, I don't even think Joe really knew what he would do at Tribal. I think he played it. So the answer to you is no. He never alluded to playing the idol for himself, starting the whole deuces speech ever. I think in that moment, he got carried away with his emotions. He got on a high that, you know, a lot of us, I did not get the opportunity to be on that high, but flashing an idol, like feeling safe, feeling protected, feeling like balls to the walls, you're not sending me home. And that didn't help me either. I think that, you know, in the end, him flashing his idol potentially might have, I don't know when the other alliance decided to go with plan B, which was me. Was it right before Tribal, or did I miss something in Tribal? Did I miss a shoulder shrug? Or, you know, people staring at each other. I don't know. Maybe I have no idea. Like, when he flashed his idol, was that when they went to plan B? It's awful not to know, but I really still don't. But no, I had no idea he was going to react in such a chaotic, manic way.
How did you guys end up with Chrissy as the target for your group?
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting seeing the character of Chrissy as it's kind of come into fruition over this first part of the season, because she was just a name that got brought up by multiple people. I feel like I have a pretty good read on most women. Like, I make friends easily. I build relationships. They're typically all genuine in real life and Survivor, which didn't help me any. But with Chrissy, like, I remember trying to kind of like talk to her and feel her out, and she was uber cold, which was strange to have, like, especially with a merge. Like, you want to make friends with people, you want to talk to people. And I remember having this feeling like, oh no, you don't like women, especially ones that are a threat to you. I have no idea how that speaks to her in real life, but that's how, in my opinion, how I felt about her game. I don't know if that's true or not. Like, seeing the edits, yeah, like, she has a threat to other women, like Rourke, Allie, all these girls who are great game players.
Katrina,
yeah. So it's just like, it's been, oh my God, Katrina. I love Katrina. But yeah, so it's really interesting to me. That is the feeling I had. And that's what I see. That is what I have seen being played out.
Okay.
And I knew, based on how much Ben was protecting her and knowing that they were on an original alliance together, I was like, not okay. You can't have two wives. We don't do
Jessica,
that here. No.
Let's talk about the disadvantage. The advantage for you, this is not an advantage for Devin.
Sure.
And I know at the time that there was a lot of confusion about why did you guys decide to go to Devin. Could you just quickly talk us through your decision-making process on that?
Would love to. So obviously, totally not a good thing to find that. I was like, Survivor gods, what are you doing? This is not okay. So obviously, as we've seen, Cole screwed me by telling the whole tribe. So that was like day one. I knew that our job was to hopefully infiltrate Ben and Lauren. I felt like the best move was to decide as a group what we do with that. Because if I decided on my own, I'm going to be screwed in the end. Somebody's going to find out. Someone's going to get mad at who I gave it to. So in that conversation, which again, unfortunately, wasn't shown, Ben really wanted to give it to Joe. And in my head, I'm like, oh, that would be the worst. Joe's mine. Like, he's a healer. He'll come back to me. I know he will. We're not going to Joe. So somehow in that conversation, I was like, no, let's give it to Alan. He's chaotic. He's a physical threat. But Ben and Lauren were like, no. Well, Lauren was good for giving it to Alan. Ben was not, because they were a part of the hero tribe together. So I'm assuming at this point, everyone's thinking we want to merge with our original alliance. So basically, Devin was the mutual ground. That is how I made Lauren and Ben happy. That is how I was happy. It didn't go to a healer. It didn't go to Alan, because Ben was hardcore, don't give it to Alan, give it to Joe. And I was like, no, no, no. Like, Joe will flip with us. We can trust Joe. We should just give it to the swing vote. And that's what happened. And I knew, like, oh, I love saying this. I really didn't know Joe would play his idol. What did not happen in the edits was showing that Joe and I had been so close. He was manic. He acts like a crazy person. And I knew giving the chance and the platform of like, oh, I'm big and bad and I have an idol, he would play it. And he did. Literally. Okay. It was perfect.
Let me ask you a question. This is a yes or no answer we need this question.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, gosh. I'm nervous.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Rourke told us about a plan that she would have put into play, where she talked about that there was an idea of throwing a challenge and that you guys, she could have gotten you guys to blindside Cole pre-merge. Would you have done that?
Oh, man. I can't explain. I just have to say yes or no.
Well, we're very short on time.
Okay, I would say yes.
Okay, all right, good, good. So then I want to ask you, did I hear correctly last night that they did not say that you are the first member of the jury?
Oh, man, talk about a triple heartache. Mm-hmm, yeah, I cried for days. Like, I mean, right, you want to make the merge, you want to make the jury, you want to make the final three. Freaking didn't make the jury, so no, I did not. The first person voted out after the merge. This season did not make the jury.
Okay. All right. Well, Jessica, you were my winner pick this season, and I'm sorry to put that jinx on you. I thought you had a lot of chops coming into this season, and I'm disappointed you did not get a chance to show it off more. Would you potentially be interested in another Survivor experience?
My whole body smiled when you just said that. Yes, are you kidding me? I am in such a perfect place of life. I could just like quit my job, do whatever I wanted for a year. Yes, please, Survivor Gods, I'll show you a good time. Pick me.
Okay. All right. Well, Jessica, that you were a lot of fun on the show, that your storyline was very fun to watch over these last 7 weeks.
Thank you.
Looking forward to talking again in the future, and all the best to you, okay?
Absolutely. Have a good one.
All right. Take care, Jessica. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. Jessica Johnson here on the podcast. But another winner pick off the board. Didn't even get to the jury. That they could have put her on the jury. They could have put her on the jury. Not for nothing. Not for nothing. But, oh, well. Okay. Well, that was a lot of pressure on Jessica to be the winner pick. I thought she was a really fun personality. I think that you still saw that on the exit interview, or heard that on the exit interview. And she is very fun to talk to. Hopefully, we get a chance to do some more podcasting down the road. So, no this week in Survivor history this week, and through no fault of Jordan Kalish, who really was itching to get it done this week with me. But unfortunately, it's just such a tight schedule for me while I am traveling in New York, and we were unable to get to that. So we will get that back up and going on the next exit interview coming up. Of course, when I get back to the studio, I will have our voicemail podcast with Antonio Mazzaro. So get your feedback questions in for Antonio. A couple of ways to do that. You can email the show, survivor@robhasawebsite.com. You can leave a message at robhasawebsite.com/voicemail, or you could call in 323-282-RHAP. Looking forward to that. Also, hope you guys enjoy my interview with, as Sari called her, Cinderella. Andrea Belke will join me later on today to talk through everything going on at the Survivor Merge. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for getting this podcast out while I'm on the road. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.